We're talking today with Mike Schulte, Executive Director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission. Mike, here we are, early March, and we've got this crop starting to percolate along, even with some of the colder conditions. We've had a few growth days, and I know that all the indications are we're just pretty well at the point we've got to get cattle off any wheat that's going to be actually harvested for grain.
Yes, Ron. I think we would have seen a lot more cattle being moved off wheat this past week, but the snow and weather did hinder us. First Hollow Stem advisor that's on the Mesonet is showing that on the early maturing wheat varieties that we're already at that 90 to 95% level in the central corridor up along the Kansas line in the state in some areas. And so, you know, producers just need to be cognizant of that if they are planning to go to harvest right now. If you look at the early, medium, late maturing varieties, on that, it is a really good tool that producers can use to show them the probabilities of what First Hollow Stem is going to be based on what they've planted and what we're seeing just on prediction models.
I know that clearly the research has shown down through the years that once you hit that point, if you don't pull cattle off, you lose a lot of wheat yield in a hurry.
Yes, anywhere from about 1% a day to 5%. And so if you leave them on an extra week and you have had that first hollow stem point, cattle are grazing, a producer could already lose 35% of that crop that's out there in the field. So the numbers can be significant on the loss of the crop.
Let's talk about the overall condition. You know, we're obviously better off than a year ago because we had no moisture a year ago. But yet the moisture that we've received has been kind of coming along just enough to keep us going, it seems like.
Yeah, as I've been around the state, I think, you know, overall the crop does look like it is growing. Things look very favorable for us right now. We did welcome the snow that we did receive this past week. It really helped us in southern parts and central parts of the state. They didn't get the benefit of that in the far northwestern regions of the state and in parts of the panhandle. You know, the drought monitor is still showing us that we're still in a significant drought in lots of parts of the western part of the state. Soil moisture is being shown as mostly short to adequate in a lot of these regions. And so while things look good right now and producers have put their top dress on and they have received the moisture this past week, we are all cognizant of the fact that we are going to have moisture from here on out to make this crop.
And, you know, it's just a little, I guess Jeff Edwards says it well. He always talks about the paycheck to paycheck issue.
That is correct. You know, I think that with maybe what prediction models are showing, that we are hopeful that maybe this season is going to be a little bit different than last season. You know, last season we did plant the crop. We had moisture to bring it up, and then we didn't receive any moisture after November. And so, you know, producers have been in a little bit better mood because we have seen moisture from the December to this February region. It hasn't come in large masses, but each week it seems we've been maybe getting a little bit of precipitation. So we are hopeful that maybe that's going to allow us to get moisture from here on out.
Let's talk a little bit about the wheat in the ground right now, because we've got a report from USDA, from NASS, that gave us a kind of a breakdown of the varieties planted in Oklahoma here in 2015. And for supporters of the wheat improvement team, like the Wheat Commission is, you got to feel pretty good.
We are very excited about this variety report that has been put out by USDA. We've seen another increase this year again in wheat varieties that have been planted by Oklahoma State that producers are using in the field. We saw that increase another 4%. So 44% of the wheat varieties in the state of Oklahoma that are being used are varieties coming out of the Oklahoma State University Public Breeding Program. And as I go around and we go to the variety trials and field days and you talk to producers, they are telling me, you know, that they think that is, you know, the one area that we are just really making great strides in, and they're really, really behind it, and they're wanting us to make sure that we keep that public breeding program in place. The top four varieties were Duster, Endurance, Gallagher, and Ruby Lee. We have a lot of other varieties out there that have been released by Oklahoma State University that are also being used by producers. And I think one thing that is important to remember that the varieties that are coming out of the Oklahoma State University wheat breeding program go under several hours of testing for quality-based attributes for both the domestic and foreign customers. And I don't know that we see that with some of the other variety development programs that are out there. I think a lot of times they rush to make a release on a variety, and they're focusing solely on the agronomic trait for the producer, but they're not focusing on those in-use quality traits for the miller and the baker. And as we work to capture more market share for Oklahoma wheat producers, that's one thing that we're really trying to hit home on. And there's going to also be some research that's going to be promoted at the variety trials this year that are going to show the progress that we're making in those areas.
And, you know, when you think about the four varieties that kind of top the overall variety list that that USDA put out, Duster is a variety that's got it's getting a little age on it, but it's been number one for 4 years.
Duster and Endurance both have age on them, but has been number one for 4 years. I think that people really use it in this state also because it's a great dual-purpose variety for grazing. I think that we were excited to see that we did make strides with the Gallagher variety and the Ruby Lee variety. Ruby Lee, an extremely intensive management wheat, but a wheat variety that is also used and is really good in the milling and baking side of things. If you look at the Gallagher, increases there, also a good dual-purpose wheat. But we're also seeing increases in IBA, a newer release, and I think that next year we're going to see a lot more of that. Also, Double Stop, the two-gene Clearfield wheat that the producer can put the second application on to get rid of the rye. Also, I've been hearing that producers are feeling that is a good grazing wheat, some of the producers that are planting that, and they also are starting to plant that just because the yield increases have been so much more.
You mentioned variety trials. Let's talk about the spring wheat tours. They're coming up pretty quick. I know that Wheat Commission traditionally has been a big supporter of those.
Yes, we will be starting April 23rd in the southwestern part of the state. You can look on the Oklahoma Wheat Commission website for the calendar of events starting in April, going through the end of May up into the panhandle regions of the state. We encourage producers to look at those dates on the calendar on the Oklahoma Wheat Commission website. Take the time to go to these variety trials. There's lots of information that's being discussed on the varieties. You know, producers have a lot more options compared to what they had, I'd say, 5 to 10 years ago as far as variety releases. No doubt, each year it seems like Oklahoma has given us something a little bit different to deal with regards to weather and moisture and all the other factors that are out there. But producers have options, and they don't have to have all their eggs in one basket. So I think that, you know, they need to take the time that is allotted at these variety trials and go out and see what we're doing with the public breeding program.